Welcome to the Pop Culture Pod Podcast. Now let's begin.
Well, hello, fellow podcast listener, and welcome back to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. I'm your host this week. My name is Chris Lockhart. And joining me, I have two of my co-hosts in crime. First up, Mr. Kevin Deesett. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going well, Chris. I'm glad to have you back. I'm glad for another fun round, and I'm glad for who else is joining us tonight.
Excellent. And last but not least, we have our co-host, Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Well, it's going quite well, and hello out there, everyone.
Excellent, excellent. Apologies. I do have a cold right now. I'm like on the tail end of the cold.
Did you pick it up on your flight to the States?
I must have, yeah.
Because Alex and I both got colds when we flew to Vegas, but I recently went down to Phoenix, but I drove. And I did not come back sick.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You drove all the way down to Phoenix?
Yeah. It was a very long drive.
I was going to say, yeah.
I think it was about 23 hours.
Oh, wow.
But it was really cool. Got to go through four different states. And, you know, I did a bunch of picking at antique malls and thrift stores and oddity shops along the way.
Nice.
And, yeah, I had a great time. And Arizona's fantastic. I loved it down there. I understand why all the old people go spend winter there now.
Yeah. That's how I felt when I was in Houston. It's like, yeah, I could be down here during winters.
Yeah, I bet. And it looks like you ate quite well.
Oh, yes. I definitely understand the obesity problem in the United States because their food is so good and so plentiful.
Did you even have one vegetable?
I'm trying to think. I had a baked potato.
I was just going to say baked potato.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was so good. And it's funny because we have Popeyes up here in Alberta, but I've never actually ate there before. But there was one like right next to the hotel, so I just kind of went there a couple times. And yeah, that was some great chicken for sure.
For me, when I'm in the States, I like Chick-fil-A way more.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to go to Chick-fil-A.
It's real good.
Yeah, I went to, I can't remember the name of that other place. It's kind of like a combination of Popeyes and Subway. It's called like Charlie's or something.
Jimmy John's?
No, that's not what it was. I want to say it was Charlie's.
Okay, no, not familiar.
But it was really good. I went to
Cheddar's. Was it Chipotle?
No, it wasn't Chipotle, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I went to Cheddar's. That was really good. That was a really good restaurant.
Oh, cool.
Torchy's Tacos went there. That was pretty good. I thought there would be more tacos. there actually wasn't a whole lot of tacos. And then, yeah, they fed us well at the course I was taking. The hotel had an awesome continental breakfast. So, yeah, it was good. You know, I definitely didn't go hungry. Got to go to Johnson Space Center, so that was really cool. Unfortunately, didn't get to go into Mission Control because they weren't touring that day, I guess. But yeah, I got to see the one of the rockets that took them to the moon, or the prototype, I guess. Got to actually walk through a shuttle. That was kind of cool. It was great. It was fantastic. And the thing is, like, there's so much to see. Like, I didn't even see everything. Like, it's definitely one of those places that you have to go to like multiple times in order to absorb everything. But
well, I bet you were also there for work, so you no doubt had to do some kind of work activity at some point.
So I only had like one free day, so that's when we went to the Johnson Space Center for the day.
You can, especially if you have a car, you can do a lot in a day.
Yeah. I didn't have a car, though. But, I mean, we had Uber, so. And I never used Uber before, but the guy I was down there with, he's a co-working friend who used to work with me, but now he works in the out of the Edmonton office. Okay. So he was the guy that was going from the Edmonton office. I was the guy going from Swan Hills, so we got to hang out, and he had used Ubers before because he's in the city. And, yeah, it's so easy. Like, I just download the app, and it's so much cheaper than taking a cab.
Usually it is, but Uber does that surge pricing thing. So if you happen to hit it at the time when everybody else needs it, then it can get really pricey.
Yeah. I didn't experience that, but...
No, that's only if there's, like, you know, an event on or something.
Yeah, I thought...
After football or something like that.
Yeah, I thought maybe there might have been something like that, because we went to the Rockets game. The only NBA game I've ever been to in my life. So that was a lot of fun. But yeah, that would have been the time to have that surge pricing. Because like the one Uber guy, he's like, I almost didn't take your Uber because like when I realized you're going downtown to the Toyota Center, he's like, I don't really like going all the way down there when it's that busy. So, but he was nice enough to take us.
That's fair. Yeah.
So yeah, it worked out, and it was Harry Potter night for some reason.
At the basketball game.
Yeah. So they did like a Quidditch thing, like demonstration. I took some pictures. It must have been from like a dance school or something. I don't know. But it was quite entertaining. But apparently, like, if you bought your tickets from the... Because we bought our tickets online, but if you bought your tickets from the box office there, you could get, like, a Harry Potter scarf for whatever house you wanted. But they weren't actually selling them at the game, so I was kind of disappointed, because I would have totally bought one for my mom, because she's a huge Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I didn't realize it was so like I'm used to hockey games where when you drop the puck, the music stops and you focus on the game. But there, it's like it continues while they're playing, and yeah, I just found that unusual. Like I never experienced that. To be honest, I don't watch basketball either, like on TV. I was watching the Raptors, like when they were when they won the title in 2019. I watched it a little bit there, but that's kind of it. But yeah, no, it was great. Saw my first airport Karen. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I saw your Facebook post about that. That looked pretty intense.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I put that up. That's like my most viewed video. Like I'm over 1,000 views.
Wow.
I've done it like 3 times. So
yeah, like
I've watched your video at least 3 times.
Yeah. No, that's great. I wish I would have caught more of it, but she was kind of walking towards me towards the end, and I was kind of getting video shamed. I didn't get caught up in the. Caught by the video, but the lady that was like sitting next to me, she was like kind of giving me shit for videoing it. You can't hear her, but she's kind of like telling me to stop. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I'll you know, it's just, yeah, I was just minding my own business watching my plane, you know, as it rolled up and they hooked up the thing to it and was watching it all, and then next thing I know some lady's like screaming and yelling and
wow.
Yeah.
Well, airports bring out the worst of us, but also having flown many times, airlines suck. So they they leave you stranded, they lose your stuff, they change your flights, and they don't have very much compassion nowadays. So
no,
I'm not trying to defend this lady because that looked pretty extreme, but you can sort of see how that happens.
Yeah, like I know even like that flight for me was delayed by a half an hour. And the only explanation I got, it was because of a passenger that was on the flight previous that caused that plane to be late by half an hour.
Mm. So,
I don't know. But then, yeah, they don't really compensate you or anything, unless it's like a major delay. But even then, it's like pulling teeth to get anything out of them. But, anywho. Yeah, no, it was a great trip. And then, yeah, back to work today, and but, anywho, so, Ragnar, when did you go to Phoenix? Was this last week?
No, 2 weekends ago? It was during, when Saskatoon got this crazy snow dump.
Oh, okay.
Got, like, 3 feet of snow.
Yeah,
in a 24-hour period, and that was the weekend I was down in Phoenix, so my parents are sending me messages saying things like, we can't leave our house, how long can your cats go without food?
Oh, God.
I'm in, like, sunny Phoenix, and I'm like, it's paradise, this is so nice. It was, like, 25 degrees Celsius, so it was very warm, and it was wonderful. And then back home, yeah, it was a hell.
Yeah. Frozen hell, yeah.
Yeah, I went down on vacation to go check out this thing they do in the States called the Oddities and Curiosities Expo.
Uh-huh.
It's like a big traveling show. They have one in not every state, but I think there's like 30 of them.
Okay.
And it's like a Comic-Con-sized event, or a Canadian Comic-Con-sized event, but they just sell weird stuff. So skulls, taxidermy, you know, stuff like that.
Hmm.
Gothic stuff, witchy stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to go to one of them. And I'm pretty confident I can claim at least a portion of the trip as market research. Because I sell a little bit of stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah.
And I've always wanted to go to Arizona because one time pre-pandemic, I drove to Las Vegas for vacation instead of flying.
Mm-hmm.
And the most beautiful part of that trip was the hour or so that we cut through the tip of Arizona.
Mm.
And that part of Arizona on the I-15, it looks like what you think Arizona would look like. Red sand, you know, I don't know what they're called, hoodoo kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Cacti is incredible, just absolutely incredible. So I always wanted to go back, so this year I was able to put the two things together.
Excellent.
And, yeah, it was just incredible. And I bought all kinds of crazy stuff. Didn't have any trouble at the border, which is good, because I wasn't sure with some of the stuff I had if they would freak out or not. And, yeah, and later this spring you'll be able to see lots of the weird stuff I brought back for sale on my table at shows all across Western Canada.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make it down to Calgary this year. Like I said on one of the previous episodes, you know, we're fighting with WCB and stuff. But on the plus side, the Crystal Surgeons, once they heard that she's fighting with WCB, now they're, like, pushing her surgery. Like, so it's going to be, like, maybe August. So she gets her knee replaced, so.
Okay.
So some good's come from it.
That's still a while, but that's good.
Yeah, at least we got something on the radar now, you know.
Yeah.
It's, they keep saying, oh, yeah, it's, you know, going to be this year, and then it's never that year. So,
that's so frustrating.
Yeah. So, anyway, it got them to, you know, finally set a date. And then hopefully, you know, WCB might go back on their decision. But I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, with it being up in the air right now, as of now, I'm not going to Calgary. Yeah. But if it changes, I'll definitely try and get down to Calgary. Because I love that Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'll be at the Edmonton one for sure. Because it's only like an hour from where I live, so.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll be at Edmonton for sure this year. But anyway, yeah, that's my plan. All right. For this episode of the Pop Culture Pub, this is called Chris's Mind Blowers, Part 1. So we're each bringing 2 to 3 interesting true facts or interesting theories we have learned and maybe others haven't. For example, Vikings didn't actually have horns on their helmets. So Ragnar, is this true that they?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So that the horns on helmets thing is a Victorian idea. When the Victorians used to imagine their Viking ancestors, they started giving them feathers on their helmets and horns on their helmets, and that's where the whole thing came from. Huh. There's little tiny bits of historical evidence that they had statues of different deities that may have had horns or wings on their helmets. But in terms of the actual helmets they wore for combat, no. There's no evidence, because why would you want horns on your helmet? That's something an opponent could grab, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're facing off against a bunch of guys and one of them grabs the horns on your helmet and immobilizes you, well, you're as good as dead. As well as if you've ever worn one, even just at like a Halloween store, the horns catch on everything. You're running around and you're getting caught on everything. So historically, the helmets they wore were basically just like a slightly conical shaped bowl. Mm-hmm. That was made out of steel. We're pretty sure they also had ones made out of leather, but we haven't really recovered enough to say that for sure.
Yeah.
And we also think that only the more elite troops would have had a helmet, and only the really elite troops would have had a metal helmet, because in the Viking Age, steel and even iron was really expensive because they didn't have mines for it the way we do now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it came from bogs. They'd go through bogs in England and find little tiny bits of iron and then smelt it all together. So it was really expensive. So like if you had chainmail and if you had a helmet and you had a sword, you were probably a more elite warrior, or you had recently killed a more elite warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the average troops, like especially people who were conscripted, they probably didn't have helmets. They didn't have armor. They would have, you know, had farm implements for weapons.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, they did not have horns on their helmets.
Excellent. Another example, pirates didn't actually make people walk the plank. And that kind of makes sense, you know, like that's definitely a Hollywood addition to make it a little bit more dramatic, but like, what's the point of walking a plank? Just throw the guy overboard. He's done.
Or maroon him. Just leave him behind on an island.
Yeah. So, anywho.
Yeah. I think that the plank thing is really cool, but I don't think that was a real thing.
Yeah.
I mean, getting marooned would be pretty scary. Getting keel-hauled would be pretty terrible. Yeah. Just getting thrown off the ship in the wide ocean would be pretty terrible. You don't need to jump off a plank to make it worse.
Yeah, I actually just watched a video of, it's off a cruise ship. This lady, she was, like, super drunk, and she fell off her balcony into the ocean from the cruise ship. They actually did go back and find her. But she was in the water for about an hour. So it's lucky. You know, she easily could have drowned. When she fell, I thought for sure she would have been knocked out. But she wasn't, so.
Oof.
But yeah, that's rough. And it's just lucky someone had seen her fall overboard. Otherwise, yeah, she would have just disappeared and people probably wouldn't have known. So anyway, those are a couple examples. just to let the listeners know what we're talking about. So, Kevin, what's first up on your list for interesting true facts or interesting theories?
All right. First of all, I was talking to my kid about it, and he wanted to contribute too as well.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, one is that sharks are older than the rings of Saturn. The rings of Saturn are estimated about 100 million years old, and there's evidence of sharks going back 400 million years.
Excellent. Cool.
Yep, so that one got me. I never knew that one. And he also told me that dinosaur fossils were discovered after George Washington was president. So when America was founded,
mm-hmm.
dinosaurs were not yet known to exist.
That is crazy when you think about it. It's not that long ago, right?
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, and you just feel like, how do they not know?
Yeah.
Because we're just so used to it and, you know, having... I think some things that when we grow up with it, we don't really know. It's crazy to think of a world without it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like explaining to my kid, like, pre-internet, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, what do you mean you couldn't just look it up? I'm like, we couldn't just look it up.
No.
It didn't happen.
No, like, yeah, when I was a kid growing up, my parents... invested in World Book Encyclopedia.
Yep.
And once a year you'd get the update where it, you know, it's stuff to add and stuff that's changed. You know, like maybe some of the information they had before was inaccurate or there's stuff to add to it. So you get that edition, plus you get like the bookmarks to mark up the pages in the actual encyclopedias so you could get the update reference. But yeah, anytime like we asked a question to like our parents and they didn't have the answer, they just said, grab the encyclopedia and let's find out. And that's what we did.
We ended up with two sets somehow, which was great. So if I had to write a paper in school and they said you needed multiple sources, I just used both encyclopedias.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually miss encyclopedias, you know. Like that set that we had growing up, my mom gave it to my cousin for her children, and I don't know whatever happened to them. I think they're gone. Which is too bad. I really wish we would have kept those.
They're a cool thing to just put on the bookshelf when you're doing a Zoom meeting, so you look really smart.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And yeah, they don't really make them anymore. Like, I guess you don't need them, because, you know...
I'm pretty sure the Encyclopedia Britannica still publishes, but it's like, I think it's $600 or $700 to get the set.
Well, even back then... It doesn't
include shipping.
Yeah, even back then they were expensive. Like like that set that my parents got, and this would have been, I want to say, like 89 when they bought this thing.
Well, it was probably pretty pricey, yeah.
Oh yeah, like they just got the, because you could get the ones with the really fancy spines and stuff. We got the ones that were more, you know, generic. Because I remember our neighbors got the fancy edition. And I could only imagine how much more that was, but yeah, no, it's.
I read a book once about a guy who read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica from cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I read that same book.
Yeah, yeah, it was interesting.
It's very interesting. I think it was called The Know It All.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
and it's A.J. Jacobs, and about every 2 or 3 years he does a stunt thing for a book.
Yeah, because he did the biblical one too, didn't he?
Yep, Year of Living Biblically. That was a really interesting one.
Yeah, that shows you how complicated, you know, taking rules from 2,000 years ago and trying to live by them today is.
Yep.
But definitely reading that book made me think about, like, you know, I should get a copy of the Encyclopedia Britannica. That'd be really cool. And then I looked at the price tag and I was like, well, maybe someday.
Yeah.
The previous library I was at, we always had people call up and they're like, oh, I'm downsizing, you know, moving out of my home and into assisted living, or I'm cleaning up my parents' house, or whatever it might be. And they're like, there's this beautiful full set of encyclopedias there. They're leather bound and all. I'm like, that's great. No one wants them. Like, I wish I could do something with them. They're like, these cost hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. I'm like, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I said, you might get $25 in a yard sale at this point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. That's probably what the market for them is like yard sale prices.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, do they look beautiful? Yeah. And there's part of me that wants to take the sets there at my mom's and like, oh, that'd be nice, you know, just to show off, just to have, like, a pretty bookshelf for it. But then I'm like, the weight of it, like, that filled my trunk.
You know,
where am I going to put it all? Like, it's literally just for show at that point. It's not, like, I mean, I would use it, but for the most part, it's for show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I was like, do I really want to deal with all that?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm with you on that. And that's a big part of why nobody uses them anymore.
Yep. But I remember I was in high school when our school got like a CD-ROM of the encyclopedia, and that was like a game changer.
Yeah.
Like that was what the kids nowadays get from the internet. Like I just remember being blown away. And then my friend and I learned how to copy and paste. So then, yeah. When we got our report, we didn't fail. But our teacher strongly strongly suspected plagiarism. That's what she wrote. But she said, because I can't prove it, I can't fail you. And I was like, that's right. That's right. Ragnar. Do you have something for Chris's mind blowers?
I have two tonight, and they are actually both about the Viking Age.
Excellent.
So I'll go with the first one, which is the funnier and also grosser one. Did you know that the largest piece of fossilized human poop ever found was from a Viking?
Hmm.
It was found in 1972 beneath what is now Lloyd's Bank, and it currently is on display at the Jorvik Viking Center. And you can look at a picture of it, and it is really disgusting looking. It is 20 centimeters or 8 inches long and 5 centimeters or 2 inches wide, and it looks like it would have really hurt coming out. And from it, they could tell that the person who deposited it ate a diet of mostly meat and bread, so it was most likely a higher class person, probably a warrior or a noble. And that person was also riddled with parasites because they found eggs to suggest intestinal worms would have been in the person.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, all of human society, especially like European-based human society, had intestinal worms until very recently. Like, in the last 100 years, they pretty much went away for most of us. But previous to that, everybody had them because they didn't cook things properly and they didn't store things properly and you didn't wash your hands properly and those things, and you had people not necessarily peeing and pooping in the appropriate places, so the contact level was high.
Mm-hmm.
The largest turd ever found that was dropped by a human is a Viking turd, and you can go see it at a museum in Britain. And then, as a funny footnote to it, the specimen was damaged after being exhibited to a party of visitors, and it broke into three pieces, and they had to hire a professional team to put it back together so they could put it back on display. So that is the textbook definition of a shitty job.
I wonder where you find a professional team to put poop back
together. I mean, there are people in Europe, there's many specialists in Europe that like restore paintings, restore antique furniture.
See, but that I understand, but to call out, you know, send armor, out, so that, yeah, send
there
out,
would have been somebody in that world that would have said, I think I can put this log back together.
yeah, I guess, yeah.
I mean, it's literally getting your shit together.
Yeah.
Oh, but, man, like, they had so many jokes like that as they were doing it.
But I wonder, like, I've seen a video of a paleontologist dig, and, you know, here are the bones. It's obvious they're bones. We've been working on these for months or years or, you know, however long for big digs. I'm like, yeah, that's a freaking bone. Like, that's clearly a bone. But I'm wondering, like, how does someone look at a poop and go, oh, that's a fossilized poop, you know, and not like, oh, it's just a clump of dirt or
I listened to a different podcast about dinosaurs, and there was an episode in there where somebody asked that question, and there is a whole process for how they actually find them and examine them and confirm that they are, in fact, poop. I don't recall what it all was off the top of my head, but there is like a whole technical process for how they do that. In this case, most likely it would have been the location and what was around it. They probably found other things around it that would have suggested either a garbage pile or a toilet hole or something like that. But that is a good question. And, you know, if you find yourself at the Jorvik Viking Center, you should ask them that.
Well, it's true. And there was... once you started explaining that, I remember there was a thing I read years ago, so I don't remember where I read it, but it was digging through like colonial era stuff, and they would find where the outhouses were.
Yeah.
But it was such a treasure trove of information, because not only is it an outhouse and we know what's in there, but they could dig through, like you're saying, for this Viking, like they could find out what they were eating, find out their diet, find out a lot about them, but also the amount of things that people would drop in there accidentally and say, I'm not going in there for it. So they were finding like coins and metals and like all sorts of other stuff. Yeah.
And then also sometimes people would throw something in there for it to never be found again.
Yeah.
You know, like my fiance cheated on me, so I threw the wedding ring in the toilet kind of thing.
Yeah.
That did happen. I have a friend who works in a place called Barkerville. It's in northern BC. It's like a, you know, like a frontier town. And she's the archaeologist on site there. And she says the most exciting digs that they get are when they find a garbage pile, because they'll find old bottles and broken things and all sorts of interesting, you know, archaeological finds, but it's the garbage pile.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can find out a lot about a society from their shit.
Yeah. And, yeah, the worm thing, like, I remember my mom, I think it was my grandma told me, she had worms, like, a few years ago, like, I don't know, probably the 60s, maybe earlier than that. And it was so, like, when it came out, it was so long, it filled a mason jar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I've never experienced worms in my life, but, I mean, it did happen not that long ago.
Yeah, no, it's, and it can still happen. I mean, obviously, in many third world countries, there are probably people
with
worms.
Yeah.
But you can get worms from, like, undercooked meat that's not handled properly. You know, somebody has worms or some part of the food chain has worms present, things don't get cooked properly, things don't get washed properly, it can still happen. I remember my doctor warning me when I went to the States that, you know, when you get a hamburger at a restaurant, make sure you get it well done, because a lot of times they won't serve it to you that way and you could actually get worms. Now, I think he was kind of fear-mongering. I think salmonella is more likely what you would get from eating undercooked beef. And then the one time when I didn't even think about it and I just ordered a burger and it showed up and it was like pink in the middle, I was so grossed out that I couldn't even tell you if it tasted good or not, because I was just like, oh my God, it's raw. Blech.
Yeah.
But, you know, down there you get that option at some places and it's just like steaks, right?
Yeah.
And I imagine that if you grow up eating burgers that are cooked medium or whatever, they probably do taste better. And then when you get one that's well done, you're like, wow, this is terrible.
Yeah.
But for us who only ever get the option of well done, getting served one that was pink was really unpleasant.
Yeah, I agree.
Burger, I won't do, like, a burger I want done all the way through. Steak to have some pink and
bread. Sure. And the problem is because the burger can be made up of meat from more than one cow. And that's where you start to get contamination issues. Steak is one cow. So unless the dude who cooks it for you has worms and doesn't wash his hands, you're not going to get sick from it. But burger, the issue is because they're, you know, contain meat of many different cows. Something to do with that is why you can so easily get salmonella.
Yeah. Well, even with myself, like, I got to have my steak well done. But there is a way to make it well done without it tasting like a hockey puck. You know, like, it, I marinate my steaks at home. Yeah. So, like, I've kind of perfected it. Like, it's still a great steak. It's still soft, but it's cooked through.
Okay.
But I know a lot of people, like, because I'm thinking because most people get it medium. They're on the spectrum of medium to rare rather than medium to well. Yeah. It's easier for them to shoot for medium. So that's why I tend to eat my own steaks. Like, I don't really order steak when I go out.
Well, and I mean, nowadays the cost of ordering a steak at a restaurant, you could be looking at a $50-$60 meal.
Oh yeah,
easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like steak, but not that much.
But even with the option, like last week, I was it was on the company dime, right? And yeah. I could have got a steak, but I was like, no, like, to me, it's just a waste of food, because I just know it'll never be as good as I can make it for myself, because I know how to make it for myself, so.
Nice.
But there's so much great food down there that, you know, it wasn't an issue at all.
When I was on that trip to Arizona, I don't think I ate anything healthy. I think it was all various burgers and chicken from various fast food joints. And then one night we mixed it up and had Pizza Hut.
yeah.
Which American Pizza Hut is way different than Canadian.
Mm.
The crust is better. The sauce is less good. And the cheese doesn't taste as good, but there's way more of it. So it was really weird because I was expecting like a Pizza Hut to taste like how I thought it would. And I'm like, whoa, the crust is way better. The sauce is not as good and the cheese is not as good. But there's like, it was like getting like extra cheese.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting how it was like completely different than what I was expecting. Because back home, Pizza Hut, in my opinion, is, you know, pretty terrible. And that's. It's very low on my list of places to order from.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, Crystal and the kids love Pizza Hut. I would rather order, like, there's a pizza place in town called Freddy's. I'd rather order from Freddy's than Pizza Hut. Because Freddy's, like, I have no problem eating it the next day cold. Like, it's still good. I mean, it's not as good as it when it's fresh out of the oven, but it's still pretty good. Whereas Pizza Hut, it seems like when it gets cold, like, it's cardboard. It sucks.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm not a big Pizza Hut fan, but it was kind of all there was, so.
Yeah. Yeah,
And American McDonald's, man, it's terrible. I couldn't get over how, I ordered chicken nuggets, fries, and a Coke, and the Coke was fine. The fries are not nearly as good as they are up here, and they're kind of, like, soggier, they're not crispy, and the chicken nuggets, I'm not kidding, I almost threw up. They were, like, rubbery and chewy. It was awful, man. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I thought this was like one of the biggest chains in the world. Why would it be gross compared to back home?
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about, but I was really, really disappointed.
So the tangent off of this as the resident American here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut is nowhere near what it was.
Oh, okay.
Pizza Hut used to be like that. Like Pizza Hut was a big, it was like the treat. Like, you went out for back to school shopping, and mom and dad took everyone out to Pizza Hut after.
Okay, cool.
You know, like that's what it used to be like, and they had these like red cups with the Pepsi logo on it. They had glass lamps above your head and everything. They had a salad bar. Your personal pan pizza that would have like four slices in it. That's how you want it and everything. Like it was an experience. And then it just became like no one goes there. It's pretty much pickup only, you know, pickup and delivery only. I don't know anyone that's gone in. And honestly, the people that go at this point are the people that I think their family's always gone, so they just do it.
Yeah.
There's no Pizza Hut that is better than like your mom and pop independent pizzas places in any town. Like this weekend I was in my hometown for my mom's birthday, and the local, like the family's favorite pizza place, like four generations, our family's favorite pizza place, they added a gluten-free one. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And it still has all the spice and sauce and everything of their regular. I'm like, this is as close as I can get to the pizza I had all my life, and I'm so happy.
Nice.
But, like, I think the last time I did any chain pizza, like a big chain, is Domino's had a gluten-free one that I tried. I'm like, this is garbage. McDonald's, I think, got even worse. Like, McDonald's used to be... I have a working theory that no one goes to McDonald's wanting McDonald's. You go because you want the nostalgia. You want to feel like...
Yeah.
Like when grandma or grandpa took you to McDonald's and you got your Happy Meal and you got the toy and you got to go in the play place.
Oh, yeah. McDonald's. As a kid, McDonald's was awesome.
Yup. All the bright colors and everything. And I think when people go to McDonald's now, they're like, I want that feeling again. I want to feel like I was a kid again. With no problems, no worries, no stresses, and just to sit down and have my hamburger and my fries or my nuggets and whatever. And that McDonald's is long gone.
Oh, man.
But it's easy. Oh, I just drive up. A lot of them got a two-lane drive-up. I order what I want, and I take off. It tastes like trash. My kid's 10, and he knows that McDonald's is trash.
I got to say, it was so gross. Like, I don't think I'll ever eat at a McDonald's in the States again unless, like, I'm literally starving. And then all the other fast food was great. So it was just like, why the hell would you go to McDonald's with all these other amazing options here?
No, like, he'll do Wendy's.
Wendy's was great. We went to a Wendy's, and it was awesome. It was better than Canada.
Yeah. He's like, if he wants nuggets and fries, we go to Wendy's. Like, he does not want to deal with McDonald's at all. I'm like, McDonald's has Pokemon toys. I don't care. Can you leave the toys somewhere else? I don't want to eat it. Mm-hmm. I went a couple weeks ago, I was driving and I'm like, I want a coffee. And the closest place for a nice coffee was McDonald's for like first thing morning. I'm like, let me just get a coffee in the morning. I'll go through McDonald's. I'm like, well, as long as I'm here, what did they got for breakfast I can eat? And it's like, oh, here's this breakfast that's supposed to have like eggs and sausage and bacon and hash brown and all. And I'm like, all right, I'll throw the biscuit away. That's fine. It was like freaking $14 American. And I'm like,
wow.
This is one scrambled egg, one breakfast sausage, one hash brown, and my coffee, which the gas station coffee would have tasted better. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
So yeah, that was another thing. I didn't experience what I heard, that the American McDonald's coffee is still not good, because the Canadian McDonald's coffee is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was trash. And then I was complaining, and I guess I got used to my kid going to Wendy's. It's like, yeah, Wendy's has those biggie bags there that are a lot of food for an affordable amount of, an affordable price.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, why would I get McDonald's or even Burger King for a ridiculous price for their value meal when I could go to like Five Guys and get, I don't know if you guys have ever gone to a Five Guys.
I haven't, but I know of it.
Yeah, so I could get the
ones here. The burgers aren't very good, but the fries are killer good.
Oh, ours, the burgers are really good. Burgers are great, and the fries are great too. And I'm like, I'm spending the same amount of money as McDonald's would have been for a higher quality food.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's the price you just listed, you could have gone to like a sit down, like a diner for that price.
Well, that was, there was a thing that went viral this week. I don't know if you guys have the Chili's restaurant chain.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
we did. I'm not actually sure if we still do or not.
No, it's still in Edmonton. I know that.
Is there still one? Okay.
Yeah.
So this guy went to Chili's for lunch. He's like, I'm the only one here. He goes, I'm going to get like an entree, an appetizer, my soda, and free chips and salsa, and it's going to be $10.
Wow.
Like, why is this place not packed? And I'm like, I started looking up. I'm like, where's the closest Chili's to me?
Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I have been finding that most fast food, it's in many cases cheaper to go to an actual sit down restaurant.
Yeah,
better quality food.
What do they call it? Like casual fast or something like that's the new term for it. It's like your sit down fast food restaurant, like Chili's and Applebee's.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, like that kind of, yeah, it's worth it to go there instead of actual fast food now.
Yeah, it's crazy, but yeah, American McDonald's super disappointing. Do not recommend. Chick-fil-A was great, In-N-Out was great, Shake Shack was great, Jack in the Box was okay, Sonic was okay. We went to something called Whataburger, which might be an Arizona thing. That was good too. Yeah, Wendy's was really good. We didn't try American A&W, but I'm sure it was good.
What about KFC?
We didn't go to one. Chick-fil-A is so good that we're like, we're not going to bother with KFC.
Well, I wasn't going to bother with it either. But when I was like down there, I was watching like the Houston Morning News, and I seen an ad, and they're talking about KFC, and they got biscuits and all this. That's one thing I love about the States is biscuits.
Yeah.
So good. Like, my mom makes biscuits, you know, when she makes stew and stuff like that, and it's almost exactly the same. Like, it's so good. But I'm like, KFC and biscuits? Like, damn, I wish I would have tried that.
Yeah. No, it never even occurred to me to go to a KFC, but next time.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would say of all the places I went in Arizona, In-N-Out Burger was the best.
I had
it was so good.
I had a Smash Burger. Do you guys know that place?
Yeah. I think there's one in Calgary.
Okay. It was pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it was. They brought it for lunch one day for the course, so it was like a cheeseburger, smash burger, plus tater tots. So
yum.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Yum. So Kevin, what? I mean, I guess the gluten free thing is a bit of a damper, but what's your go to fast food place?
Well, like that's the thing. This has been such a hit to me I sat down once and I said, okay, what can I get for fast food, for like actual fast food? And I'll say fast food's anything with a drive-through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to define it.
The only American one that I can eat as is, because what I'll, like if my kid wants Wendy's, I'll get one of those biggie bag things.
Yeah.
I'll take the fries. I'll dump the fries in the bowl. I'll take like the burger, the bacon, you know, the toppings. Remove the bun and just dump all that on top of the fries.
Yeah. And yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, and do it that way. I'm like, okay, that works, and I still get the taste I want, but without the bread that's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
The only thing in your fast food chains that I can eat untouched, like just get it and it's set and I don't have to change anything, is only the hard shell tacos at Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're corn-based, so I can do those. Yep. But everything else is wheat-based, and I'm like, it's not worth me getting sick. This is freaking ridiculous. I definitely
noticed down there wasn't a lot of options for gluten-free or even vegan or vegetarian. In Canada, there's like every place has options for something. And I, in the States, I noticed like there wasn't many options for things like that.
No, and I talked to a lot of people. You know, like I won't go into detail for it. Like, oh yeah, I, you know, if I have gluten, here's what happens to my stomach. Like, I'm not going into detail with them because no one needs to know or hear it or anything. But I was talking to a girl that I work with a couple days ago. And she's like, oh, I'll plan it out. I was like, what do you mean plan it out? She's like, if there's something I really want, like a certain sandwich or go out to dinner or whatever, I'll just make sure I have the next day off.
Oh, my God.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
I don't want anything that bad anymore.
Yeah.
There's nothing that I'm like, this is worth spending the next day on the toilet. Like, there's nothing I want that bad.
Unless you're trying to compete with that Viking for the largest log.
Yeah. But I think with the gluten thing, it's the opposite problem, right, Kev? It's not.
Yeah.
No, it's. Let me say this in the sexiest way. Maybe it's a good thing it's us guys tonight. It ends up being both, and I don't know until I'm in the moment which one will happen first.
Oh, God.
So it ends up being both of it throughout the day. Cool. It's kind of like, usually it hits me for my stomach first. It's like my stomach's like, I need this out of here right now.
Yeah.
So it starts with throwing up, and then later on it's like, oh, some made it all the way through, and then I'm stuck on the other side there.
Oof.
And it's violent and it's awful. When at first, like the time where I'm like, okay, I think this is gluten. Because I was going through, what have I eaten in the last week?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure it out. I was up at my mom's. This was like 2 years ago now at this point. And she felt so bad. Like as a mother, she's just like, all I wanted to do was help my child. And I couldn't because I was upstairs and she could hear me downstairs getting all horribly sick. And when I finally decided I'm not even trying it, I'm not even saying, oh, I haven't been sick in a while, I'll be fine today, I'm sure, like as if I'm built up a tolerance or resistance, I threw up an entire day my kid was with me and lost the entire day with him.
Aww.
And he was just like sitting there on his own on his iPad or on YouTube, and I'm like, I cannot do this. I lost an entire day with him.
Mm-hmm.
For eating something like that's ridiculous. So I'm not messing with it anymore. But no, like, work knows, everyone knows. And the dumbest one I ever did, I was eating something at a previous place I was working at. We had a catered lunch. And all of a sudden someone goes, why are you eating that? And I said, what do you mean? Well, you're gluten-free. I said, yeah, I can eat rice. They're like, Kevin, that's not rice. I go, well, yeah, it is. Look at it. It's rice. It's whatever that rice-looking pasta is, orzo.
I think something like
that. Oh, no.
I had a heaping plate of it. I honest to God thought it was rice.
Just when you thought you were safe, huh?
I chugged like almost a gallon of water. I'm like, I've heard like there's a trick to kind of flush yourself, your system, pretty much, and I just chugged water and it worked at that time. Like, I lucked out because that would have been horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah. This is the sexy show tonight.
All right.
For picking that fact.
That's okay. You had another one there, Ragnar?
Yeah, so the other fact I have, also Vikings related, is that when the Vikings from mostly Denmark, but the other countries too, were invading England, the English women preferred to sleep with the Viking men because the Viking men were cleaner. The Vikings prized cleanliness and appearance quite highly. We find tons of combs, tweezers. They had these things called ear spoons. It was like a little spoon that you'd use to scrape earwax out of your ears. A lot of the textiles that we have recovered don't show evidence of being stained. They appear to be quite clean. So they were a fairly clean society. And conversely, the Englishmen of that time period had a fear of bathing because many of the rivers in England were where you dumped your waste, whether it was food waste or pee or poop or dead animals, whatever, you dumped it in the river. That eventually meant that going in the river, no matter where you were, there was somebody upstream who was dumping their waste, and so you could get all kinds of disease and sickness from going in the rivers. Modern India has this problem right now, where there are some rivers in India where you basically shouldn't go in them because you'll get sick, but people still do.
Yeah.
And so because of this, they developed a phobia of bathing, and they assumed that all water was bad, and so they would only bathe about once a year. So you can imagine, if you only bathe once a year, you're going to be pretty ripe.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, all these pretty boys from across the water show up, and they bathe once a week, and they take a lot of time combing their hair, combing their beards, combing their mustaches, trying to keep their clothes clean, try to keep their hands clean. They'd be pretty tempting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny because, like, your archetype, the thing you think about when you think Viking, is like a big, hairy dude, you know, covered in fur, and he's just there to rape and murder. And I'm not saying those things didn't happen. They absolutely did happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality was, it was more like actually a whole bunch of pretty boys showed up and they didn't have to rape a lot of women because they were very sought after compared to the locals.
Yep.
So it's funny to think about, like, you think it's these big scary dudes, and in fact it was a whole bunch of pretty boys that showed up and took over your country. And I think that's even more insulting.
All right. So, Ragnar, I want you to do a video now. You can use it to promote your merchandise and everything. But what I'm picturing is you getting out of a pool as you've taken your Viking bath. But it's done like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. When she's getting out of the water.
Oh yeah, I know that scene.
With the same music.
Well, maybe in the summer, because that sounds pretty funny.
Yeah.
And Alexa does have a pool in her backyard.
Well, there you go. Alexa has a pool.
Yeah, it's like a, essentially it's like a 8 or 10 person in kiddie pool. Like, it's massive. Oh. But it's on the, just on the ground.
It's one of those inflatable ones?
Yeah.
And oh, it's, okay. It's yeah. Sweet. Oh, yeah. My dad had one. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, I have a pool, but like, Yeah, it costs like $500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is why she doesn't invite me over.
Yeah. It's just like I have a hot tub, but it's an inflatable hot tub.
Yeah.
And like it's a total hot tub. The water's really hot, and you sit in it, and it stays hot. But, you know, it costs $350. And everybody I tell, you know, he's got a hot tub, they think I have, like, a real hot tub.
Yeah.
And the biggest difference with the inflatable hot tub, you can't use it year-round. You can only use it to about minus 10.
Yeah.
And then it just can't insulate enough to stay warm. So, because there would be times in the winter when it would be pretty cool to go sit outside in a pot of boiling water.
Yeah.
But not at my house.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, so I got a couple here to throw at you guys. First up, I think this was what got me thinking about doing this episode. Have you ever heard of the Dancing Plague of 1518?
It sounds kind of familiar, but you'll have to tell me more.
All right, so I'm just going to read from Wikipedia here. The Dancing Plague of 1518, or Dance Epidemic of 1518, was a case of dancing mania that occurred in Strasbourg, Alsace, which is modern-day France in the Holy Roman Empire, from July 1518 to September 1518. Somewhere between 50 and 400 people took to dancing for weeks. There are many theories behind the phenomenon, the most popular being stress-induced mass hysteria, suggested by John Waller. Others' theories include ergot and religious explanations. There is controversy concerning the number of deaths. All right, so the outbreak began July 1518, when a woman called Frau Trafu began to dance fervently and uncontrollably in the street in Strasbourg. Trafia kept up the constant dancing for a week. Soon, three dozen others joined in. By August, the dancing plague had claimed 400 victims. Dancers were beginning to collapse. It was said that some even died from a stroke or heart attack. No one knew what caused this reaction, which meant no one understood how to remedy it. By early September, the outbreak began to subside, when the dancers were sent to a mountain shrine to pray for absolution.
Well, that's bizarre.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, just start dancing and then... dance until you... die.
And that's what life without TV was like.
Yeah. So here's some modern theories as to what happened. Food poisoning. Some believe the dancing could have been brought on by food poisoning caused by the toxic and psychoactive chemical products of ergofungi, which grows commonly on grains such as rye, using for baking bread. Ergotamine is the main psychoactive product in ergofungi. It is structurally related to the drug lysergic and diethylide, LSD-25, and is from which LSD-25 was originally synthesized. The same fungus has also been implicated in other major historical anomalies, including the Salem witch trials. And then there's also stress-induced mass hysteria. This could have been the example of a fully developed case of psychogenic movement disorder, which happened in mass hysteria or mass psychogenic illness, which involves many individuals suddenly exhibiting the same bizarre behavior. The behavior spreads rapidly and broadly in an epidemic pattern. This kind of component, which has been caused by elevated levels of psychological stress caused by the ruthless years, even by rough standards of the early modern era, the people of Alsace were suffering. Waller speculates that dancing was stress-induced psychosis on a mass level, since the region where the people danced was riddled with starvation and disease, and the inhabitants tended to be superstitious. Seven other cases of dancing plague were reported in the same region during the medieval era. The psychogenic illness could have created a chore from the Greek, from Greek meaning to dance, a situation comprising random and intricate unintentional movements that flit from body part to body part. Diverse chores were labeled in the Middle Ages, referring to independent epidemics of dancing mania that happened in Central Europe, particularly at the time of the plague. So I saw this video about this dancing plague, and I thought it was like a joke, but yeah, apparently it really happened.
How strange. But yeah, I mean, life back then for a lot of people was kind of shitty. So
yep.
Somebody starts dancing and it looks good, and then you start dancing and it looks good, and then you realize if I keep dancing, I don't have to go back to my terrible life, and you just get caught up in it. It seems hard to believe, but it, you know, could be as simple as that. Or, you know, everybody was on LSD. Well, you know, that'll do it too.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, and I mean, back then they didn't really know what LSD was, right? So it's totally possible that, you know, it was food poisoning. But yeah, it's crazy. All right. So the second thing on my list is I also watched a video about, could our reality be a simulation? And apparently there's a lot of things that suggest that we are actually just living in a simulation. One is all the mathematical, like mathematics that just exist naturally in the universe, that, you know, if the universe was brought together, you know, by chaos, like by the Big Bang, why would things be so mathematically sound? You know what I mean? Like there's just certain mathematics that are just constant in the universe, and they shouldn't be, according to some. So that would suggest that this is a simulation, because it's a computer that's run on algorithms, so of course things are going to, add up. And then, yeah, just some of the unexplainable things, like the hexagon at the bottom of Jupiter, like, why is there a hexagon there? Like, you have all these random clouds in these currents of gases, but yet you have this perfect hexagon shaped gas cloud at the bottom of Jupiter. Like, what's that about? I don't know. Do you guys think it's possible? You know, are we living in the Matrix?
I'm sure it's possible. But definitively proving it one way or another is almost impossible, I think.
Yeah.
I lean towards no, because this would be a really boring game most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, why would anyone play as most of us, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even worth it. But I do think... because I was watching an interview, and I always forget the guy's name, but the Asian physicist that's on all the science shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the slightly long hair.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. Oh, what's that guy's name? I can see him.
Yeah, and I just cannot remember his name. But he was talking about, if you could come up with one theory, you'd be the greatest physicist ever. But it has to follow these three rules, and it's pretty much, you know, coming up with a theory of everything that Einstein couldn't. He's like, somewhere out there is a math equation that would work for this.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't found it yet. He's like, we've gotten close. We have things that can answer two out of the three things, but nothing that can answer all three. And the more and more we discover, the harder and harder it's going to get to find one. But there's definitely something out there that could just explain everything. And I think that there's got to be, like, I definitely think there's some sort of pattern to even physics on that level. We just probably aren't smart enough to understand it because it's such a huge level of galaxies and universe and all. But I mean, you look at things where, like, a supernova kind of also looks like an eyeball.
Yeah.
The iris and the retinas and, you know, everything and the color and all. You're like, there's got to be something that just unifies all of this and makes everything make sense, but I don't think we're on a level to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting. Like, yeah, this could be a whole episode in itself, but
I remember having many conversations on this topic when the first Matrix movie came out, which I think I was 13 or 14. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having many conversations with my friends about, you know, are we actually living in a simulation? And one of my favorite parts of that, and specifically the Matrix franchise, was in the Animatrix, the animated series, where they explain things like there's glitches in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sometimes that's why weird things happen. And that's where you get deja vu from. But in the end, we never really concretely settled on one or another. I think Kevin really hit the nail on the head just with, if we were living in a simulation, wouldn't it be better than how things are?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless the people that created the simulation... Like, we're a creation of the simulation. Like, we weren't created for the simulation, but the simulation created us. So we're not an original component to the simulation, if that makes any sense.
I mean, if you do, like, we're NPCs, you know, we're non-playable characters
mm-hmm.
in a game that can go off and have their own things... I could see us being like a video game generation or two away from that does happen in games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, hey, your character, you know, went to this restaurant and said hi to this character that's a non-playable character. But because you said hi to that character, they left a minute later than they would have, which meant that they did not run into this person on the street, which meant that this happened, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't play as the character, but you now have affected... what's going on with them. So, like, if you play the video game one way, that character might come back married, that you see him, you know, much later in the game. But because you made a different decision, that character comes back single in the game later on. And, like, so now you are affecting the life of a boring character that you shouldn't actually see. I can yeah. see... You know, the way that games are developing and changing over the years, I could see it's like, oh, yeah, the game is so rich and detailed that your decisions affect everyone else in the game. And then if we're going there, it's like, all right, here I am, you know, boring, non-playable character in this game. Matrix reality thing here.
Mm.
But maybe, you know, whatever... higher dimensional being that's playing the game of our universe here, it's like, oh, my guy is, you know, someone big and important in the world, but look how it affects, you know, your quote normal people like Kevin along the way.
Well, I just wanted to throw this out there that Ragnar shared a picture of that poop we talked about earlier. Wowza. Wowza.
All nightmares.
Is that part of the Matrix?
Yeah. Well, and anyway.
Oh, my.
Like, you would think it, like, it must have been bigger because it would have had, like, water and stuff in it, right? Once upon a time?
Yeah, this is the fossilized version.
Yeah.
It would have been bigger. Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought that was interesting that this could be we could all be living in a simulation, a shared simulation.
That takes you down some weird rabbit holes if you go all the way.
Yep. But anywho, did you guys, either of you have anything else you wanted to throw out there before we called it an episode?
Those were the only facts I came prepared with.
All right. Well, this is definitely a topic we're going to revisit at some point. So that's why I called this Chris's Mind Blowers Part 1, because, next time I see something, like the dancing plague, this will be the episode where I'll bring it up.
Cool.
But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. And Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
Oh, you can find me across the internet. I'm at Hellions Team. HelliansTeam.com is my home blog, and I promised someone I would get a review done this week, because I ended up with the advanced reader copy of Becky Lynch's autobiography.
Right. Excellent.
So I sat down, I read all that finally. I really want to post it soon and tag her in my post and see if she reads it and says nice things about me too.
Excellent.
I might have an issue where she is concerned.
Yeah. Understandable. you could check out my blog, randomnerdist.blogspot.com. And next week, we are planning on recording Trek 1701, the Beta Crew episodes. So be sure to check out this feed for that episode, and then we will be back, I believe, a week after that for Geek Fallout Reloaded. So, yeah. And Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Right now, I do have my Facebook page open, although I'm not particularly active on there, but that's just facebook.com/RagnarTheTrader, or my website, RagnarTheTrader.com. And if you're in Edmonton this weekend coming up, which is March 22nd and 23rd, I'll be at the Edmonton International Beer Festival.
Ooh.
Where I will no doubt sell a lot of horns to a lot of drunk people who will probably drink out of them immediately and have a really great time.
Yep. Yeah. Excellent. You know, I always wanted to go to that, never did make it. And now I
got it. Oh, it's pretty fun. Yeah. I've been doing that show for a long time. 2014 or 2015, maybe, I started doing that show.
Oh, okay.
And it's always a little shocking to me how drunk people get, because the show starts at 5 and goes till 10. Mm-hmm. And by 8 o'clock, there's people passing out, there's people throwing up, there's like ambulances hauling people out. It's pretty incredible. And they told me that, like, they have to close it at 10, otherwise it would just get out of hand. I mean, like, if we stayed open till midnight, people would die, like, actually. And so it's pretty bizarre, but it's fun. There's, you know, lots and lots of beer. There's some hard liquor. There's some food. There's always live bands and entertainment, and you can pick up a drinking horn while you're there. It's a pretty great time. Like, yeah, as long as you're going to get drunk. If you're sober or not drinking, it's not going to be a fun show.
Yeah. I was going to say,
it's not going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, now that I've quit drinking, I probably won't go, but...
No, you probably were just like, wow, these people are obnoxious.
Yeah, and I used to be one of those people, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and when you're drinking and everyone else is drinking, it's fun.
Yep.
But if you're the only sober guy in the room, you're like, wow, this sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, but I still drink my non-alcoholic beer from your drinking horn mug, so I still put it to use. What the heck was I going to say now? The years ago, the Atomic Geeks podcast, they did like a video episode. It might still be up on YouTube, I'm not sure, but it was when they went to one of them beer things. And it was funny to see, because they did it like hour by hour. So they would, you know, film a little bit, you know, and then an hour later film a little bit. And it's amazing to see the decline of them as they get more drunk. And you know, like, they're perfectly fine standing upright, you know. And then by the end of it, you know, their hats are like backwards or sideways, their shirts ripped open, and you know, they're, you know, like, could barely stand still without falling over. Like, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, that sounds exactly like what I'll be seeing this weekend.
Yep. Excellent. Yeah. All right, well, apologies, dear listener. I was able to contain my coughing to just a few times, so definitely a lot better. I'm definitely on the mend. But thank you for joining us this evening for the first edition of Chris's Mind Blowers. I was your host this evening. My name is Chris Lockhart. I was joined by Kevin Decent and Ragnar. And I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to us talk about, you know, things that were blowing our minds. And we will see you again in the not-too-distant future.
Is over now.